in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to a big-time Megapod. I've got both Trevor Gebhardt and Nate Zastrow live in a manner of speaking as we are spread across this great country of ours. But we are very excited to break it all down for you with this big, big week of Bison athletics coming. Major, major North Dakota State men's basketball news. And the biggest, honestly, the biggest NDSU-UND showdown in 20 years since the last Division II fight for the Nickel. And we're going to get into that right now. But first, Trev, by the way, welcome to the show. Thanks for the time.
It's glad to be here, Ross. I've had better sleeping weeks than I've had this past week, but nonetheless, our family's expanded. So yes. Welcome to the world, baby Jet. And we now have a family of four. Carl and I are currently in man-to-man defense. We're not doing very well.
The zone is over.
Zone's done. If you include Champ, I guess we are playing zone, and that's just going absolutely atrociously bad.
Yeah,
because our dog might be the worst one, to be honest with you, between the three. So, but all is good in the Carolinas.
Yeah, and just for those, so Trev knows, we shouted out Jet. We welcomed him to the family on last week's pod.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I didn't fail to congratulate you because I'm an ass. I did it because I kind of forgot because we explained to the people why they didn't get any Trevor Gebhardt last week. And that's because Trevor Gebhardt was receiving a child. So that's what happened there. Let's talk about we might as well just get into it, huh?
Let's roll, man.
Illinois State. I think you go through that game, you see the 21-13 victory, but it's really difficult to go through that film or even experience that game live and not have the main takeaway be the quarterback situation. Is it not?
That is 100% correct. And those that follow me on Twitter got to see what my thoughts were pretty much live as that game was playing. I don't know if Zeb is going to be the answer as far as what this team's goals are. I'm not saying he's not capable of getting it done. I still think he is, but they're halfway through the season and he hasn't shown it. And so when that happens, you have a situation like you did this past week where insert number two, which is Cam Miller, and he starts making plays and he lights a spark in the offense. And he was able to do things with his legs that you've typically seen in the past decade with Bison football that Zeb unfortunately hasn't been able to do. And because of that, plus some nice balls that he has thrown, calculated risk, albeit, he was just able to come in and make plays when the team needed it most. And I don't know how you stray away from that, in my opinion. So it'll be interesting to see what the coaching staff does. I have a very strong hunch of what they will do. And I'm not surprised that they didn't make any changes in the two deep, because why would you make UND prepare for both quarterbacks because they don't know what they're going to get? But you'd also be remiss if you did not think that they know number seven is going to be getting the snap and the nod.
Yeah. And I'll pull people behind our text message curtain in the fourth quarter real quick. Trevor Gebhardt to Ross Uglum. He's the guy. Ross Uglum. Ross Uglum back to Trevor Gebhardt. Yep.
That's how we get it done. That's how we roll.
About a four-word exchange that may signify the potential. And that's something we can get into a little bit later too. What a hell of a situation potentially down the road. you know, if they do finish out the season with Cam, it's likely that Zabby either moves into a coaching role because that's what he wants to do, or moves on. And then you have all of a sudden Cam Miller, who's started the rest of the regular season plus the playoff, whatever playoffs they are able to make, versus Quincy Patterson, one of the highest rated players ever to put on the green and gold as far as a high school recruiting standpoint is. And then the most highly touted quarterback since Easton in Cole Payton as a true. I mean, that's a crazy fall camp at QB right. Again. So Cam Miller, kind of the forgotten man. I think everybody was thinking Zeb versus Cole Payton versus Quincy in the fall. Cam Miller's throwing his hat in the ring going, no. This might be my program for 4 years. Impressive sometimes, stuff.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when you make enough plays like that, I mean, granted, he's done it for a game, so he still has a lot to prove himself. But when you're able to do that, how do you go away from that? It's no different than Brock Jensen winning multiple national championships and having number 11 redheaded kid right behind him. You clearly know his talent ability. He doesn't just vault to the position that he did in a single season. So back then we knew the talent he had, but you have a multi-winner national champion MVP quarterback who's lost a game in 2 years. How do you sit that?
Yep.
You know? So if Cam comes in, progresses well, wins a bunch of football games, you know, fingers crossed, leads his team to Frisco and gets number 9. If that occurs, what do you do? Sorry, coaching staff, if you're listening, but that's one of those fun hypotheticals that we
get to be like, are you kidding me right now? Are you too serious? Yeah.
But that's what makes our job fun, because we get to sit here and play those fun games.
Yeah.
And put that pressure on them. You know, I say that, and I, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I'd support them either way. I'm not the one in the trenches with them every single day, but if hypothetically Cam Miller were to do that and accomplish that, wow,
it'd be a tough conversation.
It is, and you have a phenomenal problem on your hands. I would have to imagine you sit Cole Payton if that were to occur. I think you sit him because look at Trey Lance. I don't know how he came in. I don't know if he was more raw. I don't know what he looked like in camp or anything like that, but you know what you have when a guy.
And the
like
only
that
reason the only reason I say Cole Payton is just because Trey, you could see it with Trey, but Trey's only offer on the, you know, that of like super significance was Boise State, and it came the day before signing day.
Right.
Easton had a legitimate Big Ten. Now it was Rutgers. But he had a legitimate Big Ten offer on the table. And what we know, because Cole Payton came on our show and said it out loud, is that both Iowa State and Nebraska wanted to offer, and he didn't even want to talk to them. He was going to be a Bison. That's it. So while that's not necessarily a reported offer, we know the level that this kid is, and he basically told the Big 12 to just leave him alone. So that's why, you know, I'm saying from a strict recruiting perspective that this young man is, you know, this Cole Payton young man is, he's the highest of the high just from a recruiting perspective. And, but Cam Miller, hey guys, Cam Miller is no joke. 3-star kid. Legit 3-star kid, 24/7. You know, I think said it in his press conference. I mean, I don't think I was in the press conference. Said in his press conference yesterday, told his dad, the head coach at Solon, after, you know, some contact with NDSU, flat out told him, if they offer me, this is it. So you might have had a very similar situation with 3-star Cam Miller, where NDSU made the offer, he made the commitment, and he shut down his recruitment.
The thing I like about him is, and I can see why he would have done something like that, because the first time he ran the ball, I think it was a broken play, if I remember correctly, and it was going from right to left on the video screen, and he took off to the right, got hit pretty good, and it was kind of a welcome to college football moment, and he got up a little gingerly, but he embraced it. He came looking back to the sideline, grimacing just a little bit, but he didn't want to show any sign of weakness. And when that play happened, I had a good feeling about it because he's just embracing it all. He's thrown into a role that's like sink or swim, buddy. We got to have a play. We got, like, we're in a situation where this offense needs a spark, and here's the ball. And granted, it was with his legs in that particular play. That showed the sign to me that he fits the offense well, fits the culture well, and his mindset's there to be a leader. So you can learn a lot very quickly about a young man when he's put in an adversity type of situation like that. And he answered the bell. So the fact that you alluded to his recruitment, which I wasn't aware of, that tells me a lot that makes me optimistic about him moving forward.
Yeah, he was a big time kid. I mean, I think it's just because of the fact that, you know, he didn't, but actually, you know, as far as just a rating is concerned, and then these go back, number two is Luke Weirts, number three is Joe Stoffel. From just a rating perspective on 24/7 Sports, Cam Miller is the number one NDSU recruit of all time. He's got an 8.5. He's got an 8.59 rating, 3-star, out of Solon, 3-star kid, and you know he was the 26th ranked dual threat quarterback in the country. So they split him into pro style and dual threat. So Cam's a 26th dual threat quarterback in the country. And just so people have kind of an understanding of that, I mean, that means that he's probably a top 50 QB in the country, and it is rarer than rare that North Dakota State would get a top 50 QB in the country. So just because you maybe didn't hear as much about Cam Miller as you maybe heard about Cole Payton, that has more to do with kind of the offer noise of Nebraska and Iowa State than it does of how people whose literal jobs is to evaluate high school talent think of him. And I'm not saying that they nail it every time, because you can go and look in, you know, NDSU's all-time list here, and you can see some guys that didn't work out. Like the number four recruit of all time is Cameron Hackle, class of 2016, defensive tackle, never even made it to campus. Sabian Clark is the number five ranked recruit of all time because he had Iowa and Iowa State offers. Quit to start a music label or something like that. I mean, it doesn't always work. But Miller and Weirts at 1 and 2 are looking pretty darn good so far. Anyway, we've droned on about the quarterback situation enough. You and I agree. We think it's going to be Cam Miller. No disrespect intended to Zeb Nolan, but the offense just functioned better without him. Right now, they don't have, and I mentioned this in the offseason, I thought they were going to have to put in a few more things from the, like, Steve Walker version of this offense, just because, you know, Zeb, while he has said he's a great runner, he's a great athlete, that just hasn't shown up on film. His ability to scramble, you know, he's more of an extend the play and still throw it kind of guy than a tuck it down kind of guy. Cam is the tuck it down kind of guy, and he's not Trey Lance. He's probably not even Easton Stick from just a raw speed perspective, but he's shown the ability to get out and make plays with his feet. And right now, this version of the NDSU offense that has been curated by Courtney Messingham and then ultimately Tyler Roll, it runs better with this dual threat quarterback. Right. Now, that's what he is. And he was good in winning time, and he made a winning play. And you're exactly right, Trevor. There is not a single reason for Matt Entz to sit up. And I know fans probably, is he blind? I've gotten that. Is he blind? Can he not see? Who gives this team a better chance? Well, of course he can. He can see a lot better than you. They don't just give the head coaching job to anybody. But the reality is, if you can make UND spend 5 more minutes of practice time prepping for Zeb than they would have if you would have named Cam Miller the starter, you have succeeded in your goal of limiting their preparation. It's the same reason he does that weird-ass stuff on the two-point conversion. It's the same thing. Trevor's, you can't see this. Trevor's nodding his head up and down.
So, yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there. And your whole goal is to play chess. You want to make sure that these other teams, this isn't rocket surgery, as I've said a couple times on the pod. This isn't rocket surgery. You want to make sure that the other team has no idea what you're doing. Groundbreaking stuff there, people, that I'm delivering you today. So if you can sit here and hide behind a veil of, we don't know who our quarterback is. I think everybody does. I think UND, I think, how do you pronounce his name?
Bubba Schweigert.
If you think Bubba Schweigert does not know that Cam Miller's very likely to start, I think you'd be very naive. So the whole point of this is to just make sure that they go, we don't know for sure, so we have to spend an extra period of our practice time every single day this week to prepare for Zeb or Cam.
Yep. And if Zeb plays, if Cam plays the whole game and they spent three practice periods working on a defensive game plan for Zeb, they've wasted those three periods and you've achieved your goal.
Exactly. And it might help you out for one play in the entire game, but that one play can make the difference. It's no different than, like you just alluded to, and as you were talking about this whole preparation thing, in my head I was thinking about Ants implementing the wonky two-point conversion. You're spending special teams time on there. That could be why their special teams have been so great. Now, granted, Garrett Wagner's got an absolute boot cannon. Yeah. That helps too. So their special teams has been phenomenal all season. And that could be a factor of it. When you have special teams periods, teams are having to think of every possible way that they can run a two-point conversion out of these weird formations. It's a distraction. And they do an excellent job of executing. So if you can do that on the offensive side of the ball too, things could work out.
Yeah, absolutely. Going into the UND side, you know, this is what we've mentioned is this is an old group. And that's something I want to just get across to people too. This is a dream scenario for UND. They're 3.5-point underdogs in the Fargo Dome, you know, have lost their last two in the Dome by a million. Did not look like they belonged on the field with NDSU in 2019 or 2015, flat out. But this is easily the most important UND-NDSU game in 20 years because there's actual question about the outcome. And that hasn't been that way in a while. But just an unbelievable way of without being mean, I mean, here's the facts, folks, is this UND team has 14 seniors on the 2-deep. That's what Coach Ant said. And the reason they have those 14 seniors is because everybody's stuck with the program. You know, NDSU lost Trey Lance, Dylan Radins, Carson Schoening, Quinn Allo, Jabril Cox, Adam Cofield. You can go down the line of guys that you could drop in on NDSU's roster right now, and they'd be 10, 12, 14-point favorites over UND. Trey Lance himself is probably worth a touchdown in Vegas and probably more than that on the field in real life. But that's not the situation, okay? Seven Wilson and Cade Johnson aren't walking through that door for SDSU. Ellerson Smith isn't walking through that door for UNI. Christian Uphoff's not walking through that door for Illinois State. In fact, Illinois State, Brock Spack told us last week, they were down 30 kids. 30 kids from injury or COVID or whatever, from what he felt they would have had on a fall roster. They were minus 30. This UND team isn't minus anybody. This spring season is their fever dream. This is the best version of UND football in the history of Division I. And that means they're going to come into the Fargo Dome and feel like they've got a chance to win with this experienced group. Is NDSU the more talented group? That's not even a question. This is not even a question. Folks, I need you to understand, there, since Mason Bennett left UND, there is not a player on UND's roster that had a North Dakota State offer to play football, a North Dakota State scholarship offer. There are walk-ons that chose to go to UND over NDSU probably because they thought they'd get playing time or they were closer to home or whatever. But as far as offer to offer, Mason Bennett was the last UND athlete to choose UND over NDSU. And he's in the CFL now. He's a hell of a player. He was a Canadian kid, really good football player. But now UND doesn't have a player that NDSU offered. There's probably a number of starters on UND that would have loved to have been Bison, because when they were in high school, they're probably upper Midwest footprint recruits. NDSU was awesome. They were winning titles. They were doing the whole thing. And NDSU wasn't interested or just didn't pull the trigger on the offer. And they ended up probably with a chip on their shoulder at UND. Now all those kids are 22 and 23-year-old men playing against a bunch of 18 and 19-year-old kids on NDSU. And that is just the way the cookie has crumbled because of COVID, because of the transfer portal, because of whatever. But one thing that they'll always say in North Dakota State is no one's going to feel bad for the Bison. Richmond says it. Entz says it. It's a fact. Eight of the last nine championships, no one's going to feel bad for the Bison. No one's going to cry for NDSU that UND has all these juniors and seniors, fourth and fifth year kids, and the Bison beat Illinois State with five freshmen on the field on the winning play of the game. No one's going to feel bad for the Bison, folks. But this game in the nutshell is NDSU, can they mature fast enough that their talent can overtake UND's experience? Because that, I think, is going to be the telling factor in this game. Trev, you got thoughts?
Not a whole lot to deviate from that specifically. I do think that we're going to learn more about that in the fall. And I think it's hard to see specifically what you just touched on in the moment right now, because we're in it. I don't think that's going to be shown or come to light as much as now as it will in the fall. I think that's going to be more evident in the fall. I think people are going to look back at this time and go, yeah, what Ross just said makes a whole lot of sense. I get it. So I think it's going to take time for that to be seen, because in the moment right now, UND is looking at it from a singular point of view, going, we have a chance to knock the Bison off their porch. Well, in an essence, for a game, you do. They have a golden opportunity to say, we've arrived. We were talking about that beforehand, all three of us. Nate was jumping in on it. We were all saying that this is an opportunity for them to kind of say, hey, we want a seat at the table too in FCS. They've won four games in a row. They've done a phenomenal job. And on paper, it looks extremely impressive. So they're there. They're at the doorstep. This is their opportunity to knock it in their eyes. Where it goes from there, who knows? They've got to still win and execute. So to them, they are looking at what's in front of them right now to say, we want to make our statement FCS to go win a championship of our own, because we're tired of hearing about what they're doing in Fargo. And I'm sure they are. Well, go win a championship.
So is everybody else. Talk.
I know. So go win. Okay. So that's in their minds. From NDSU, you got a bunch of young guys going, we're here for a reason. We were brought here for a reason. Just like everyone that came here before us, we're following the same footprint. And you can see the light bulb has gone off a little bit since that Southern Illinois game.
Oh yeah.
There's a bigger grit factor. Now, there's still a lot that they have to put together. They still have to improve every week. If they want to go win a national championship, your job is to improve every week. It will not happen unless you improve every week. It's a shortened season. You're young. It's necessary. And now you have, for what's been seen so far, a top five team in the country easily. Some would argue top three, top two. Some have put them at top two and they're not number two. Some have put that in there. So what are you going to do? It's a golden opportunity for you too, because there are a lot of people in this country that believe right now that that is a better football team. And for what their resume is, it is. They haven't lost. They've beaten a team that smoked North Dakota State. So from both sides of the coin, you've got a team wanting to arrive and make their statement. That's a senior-laden group that has a chance to open up a lot of eyes and probably get a definitive number one seed if they win this game convincingly.
Yeah.
And a bunch of young cats who have been challenged in Fargo. So to me, I'm just excited to see the competition, to see how it plays out, because it's a heavyweight title fight, in my opinion. I think the Valley will be decided significantly from this game.
Yeah, and the interesting thing too, I mean, honestly, Trev, if NDSU loses this game, I think they're in single. I think the playoffs start the next week. It's my opinion.
Oh yeah, it's you have to win out, no doubt about it. You have, I don't know what the specific format is. I haven't taken a look at it. I believe
16 instead of 24.
Right, I knew that, but is it 10 auto and 6 at large?
Yeah, I mean the conferences that are playing, the conference champion gets an auto bid.
Okay, so you have 10, you have 10 and 6. So you lose this game, you're not winning the conference. So you've got getting the Valley will be capped at 3 teams. The Valley's going to be capped at 3 teams no matter what.
Yeah.
So yeah,
plus everybody hates you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
wants to see you out of the playoffs.
Exactly. So if you're even with a team in the Valley,
it's gonna be them. Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting left out. So you've got to win out. This is a huge game. This winning this game will afford you, well, actually, I don't know. You'd rather lose early than late. So, you know, hypothetical scenario, you just got to win.
And as crazy as it sounds now, though, UND's a resume builder. And you would have never told me that before this season started. But they are. I mean, that's a huge win if it does come to pass.
Yeah. Well, they're clicking on all cylinders and everyone's singing their praises. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens. Again, we play a lot of hypotheticals. But let's say NDSU goes in there and history repeats itself and they beat the brakes off them. Okay, let's say they win by double digits. What do people say about UND? How far do they drop?
Yeah.
You know, what conversation is entailed there? Now, we're not going to know until they play this thing out and how they look from the eye test. But I don't foresee that happening. But I think
it's a big deal because, I mean, so the thing with UND and what I kept telling people that were freaking out about how good UND was and they're going to come in and they're going to kick our ass and blah, blah, blah. And I just said, look, I would relax. You know, Bubba was 25-9 at the Alaris coming in, and they were a mediocre program when he was 25-9 at home. You know, I mean, he built that record while really not having a ton of success. I mean, they don't have an FCS playoff win in his tenure or ever. And he built kind of a middling FCS program, even being unbeatable in his own arena. So them moving that record up to 28-9, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, that's UND football, guys. They play in a dome in a spring schedule where teams didn't want, where the Valley didn't want teams to play outside early. Well, then they go out and beat a bad Western team on the road. I think even their social media team was like, you wanted us to play a road game? We played a road game. It's like, okay, you wanted Macomb. Congratulations. Throw a parade. That changes, though. I mean, they come into Fargo and win, and I don't care what you view this as, a young or a weekend or a whatever version of the Bison. That's a statement game. That's a statement win. As I mentioned, winning at home is what Bubba does. And that has not translated to being a phenomenal program.
To look at it from another perspective too, their success early on, especially what they did to the Salukis, can help North Dakota State. You alluded to it. It's a resume builder. Well, North Dakota State gets absolutely smoked for a game and people say they're done. It's like Tom Brady in 2016. He's done. It's over a weekend, right? So now you have some people saying the best team in the country coming into your home turf. Okay, you knock them off. Now what? So you basically just put everything to bed that happened in Carbondale, because now you play transitive property. It's a love triangle. They've all beaten each other. So, and what have you done for me lately? Okay, well, NDSU just won when NDSU would have just won when UND is the hottest team in America. So you have a massive opportunity to heighten your focus and to make sure that you take care of business over a team that on paper right now is better than you.
Yep. They certainly have a better resume. All right, Trev, we're not going to get back together this week. So I need a prediction. We gotta put our stamp on this one.
I'd like to think that NDSU's offense gets it back together this week. I don't know how well. I think it's going to be a mediocre scoring game, but it'll be definitely be close. And I think this talent will eventually rise because you're no longer a bunch of young cats. You're halfway through your season and guys have experience. You can't use the young team excuse anymore. That's over. And I think NDSU pulls off a close one, 28-25.
Yeah, I'm going to drop that down. I think NDSU both wins and covers. And I think the reason for that is this defense is better than I think people understand. Last week, they gave up 13 points. Folks, the offense put them in impossible spots. You can't turn the ball over three times. And that's what the offense did. The fact that they turned the ball over three times and won is kind of incredible. And I think, you know, specifically, you've had now five turnover-worthy plays by Zeb Nolan over the course of the season. And that counts fumbles, interceptions, and dropped interceptions. I'm just reading off of PFF College here. You know, because if you throw a ball and they drop the pick, you still get a turnover-worthy play because you made that mistake. They just didn't capitalize on it. Well, now you got Cam Miller who has zero turnover-worthy plays. And granted, yeah, that's in a lot less playing time. But I think a lot of the time with Cam Miller, too, it's, well, I don't have it. Let's tuck it and run. And with Zeb, it's like, I don't have it. I'm not going to tuck it and run. I'm going to try and force it in a spot. And a number of those turnover-worthy plays haven't been his fault. You know, I mentioned he was hit as he threw. They had a 75-yard touchdown dialed up, drilled as he threw the ball, ball flutters. Nobody's completing that ball. I mean, it's not his fault. The second, though, he had Christian Watson on a post for a touchdown and underthrew the ball by 11 yards and got picked. That's got to be out in front of one. You're not going to overthrow one. And it got picked, and it's just, it can't work. This defense in three out of four games, in my opinion, has been a seven-point defense or a shutout defense. They've actually been a shutout defense. And I'm not that impressed by UND offensively. They're good up front. Weah is fine. And, you know, they're kind of a bruising team, and NDSU has smaller linebackers. There's no question about that. But the Bison are so good on the defensive line, and they're just getting better. They're just getting more comfortable. Tucker and Wagey are monsters. Braden has been awesome. The Bismarck kid, the MSU Mankato transfer. Tony Pierce ate an NFL, a future NFL tackle for breakfast, folks. You go back and watch the tape like I did. He ate him for breakfast. So I actually think that the Bison win 20-13 or 24-13, but I think I'm going to lock in at 20-13. I think we get a dominant Code Green performance. I think Cam and the Bison offense do enough to win the game, but more accurately, don't turn the football over, because that, I think, is why Illinois State got to 13. And more often than not, the Bison offense is going to be able to get to 14 and you're going to win that game anyway. But I don't think that Illinois State gets to two touchdowns without three Bison turnovers. So ball control, dominate on defense, and I think they get out of there 20-13, 24-13, something in that area. All right, folks, we want to thank Trevor for his time, but we also want to thank Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead, Minnesota. We want to thank Chase and his buddy and ours, Aaron Lean. Chase, of course, of NDSU football fame, and Aaron, former Minnesota State University Moorhead basketball standout. They started in a garage, baby, like all great ventures or like many great ventures, training Chase's mom and her friends. With a little adult fitness, getting the body moving, and have really transitioned that into phenomenal work based a lot on what they've learned from their college athletic programs for high school and college age athletes and for adults trying to get into better shape. They've got a number of really easy ways to get in, download their app, sign up for classes. It's as easy as that. And you know, they're doing everything COVID safe. Minnesota's very stringent on that stuff. They're doing a phenomenal job. And if you can't go in sometimes, the Elevate app is really, really cool. They've got home workouts with, you know, body weight, groceries that you just find in your fridge, just basic household items that can be used to get an excellent full body workout in without ever leaving your house. But I prefer the gym. I prefer going in. I prefer working with the trainers, working with Chase sometimes, working with Aaron. They do a phenomenal job, and we appreciate them. You should check them out. Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead. Nate, how are we doing?
We're doing good. It's been a interesting week as far as Bison basketball goes. Looking forward to watching the tournament. It's always a fun time for me and college basketball fans. Good to have the tournament back. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see personally how the Bison offseason goes with some players leaving this week.
Yeah. Interesting. Plus, you know, in addition. So I think, you know, we're going to find out a lot because they say the locker room's important, and it is. And they're losing some phenomenal human beings from the locker room. You know, I would say as the basketball beat guy, I have gotten so much closer with, you know, basketball players and their families than you ever do with football because there's just so many kids. And getting to know, you know, Jackson and his family and, you know, Tyler's family's from Florida, so obviously not around as much, but interviewing Tyler two or three times as I did, you know, throughout his career, having the chance to interview Biggs, but even just hearing, you know, teammates' accounts of what phenomenal human beings they are, hearing Dave speak about these people, Donald Carter III, what an unfortunate situation with that injury. I think big, big plans for that kid. I think if he doesn't break his leg, he's probably your week one starting point guard, week one, game one starting point guard, and now he's in the portal, and who knows, just athleticism-wise, where he'll get back to. That's a terrible injury. I've had it, actually. And not that I was ever an elite athlete to begin with, but it's tough to approach 100% again with that injury. Just from a – there's two ways to look at it, right? Obviously, the clubhouse side or the locker room side is one. But then on the other side, you know, you've got guys that have left this program – that we're not getting a ton of minutes. And honestly, you know, as crazy as it sounds and as rare as it is, all reports, and I mean all reports from folks around this program that I've spoken to, that, you know, sources that we have spoken to, they absolutely anticipate that Andrew Morgan will start day one. And that's not surprising, folks. The kid is a top 200 talent, the most decorated recruit in NDSU men's basketball history, and it isn't close. Okay, Iowa, what are they, a two-seed, Nate?
Yep, they are a two-seed.
Yeah, a two-seed in the NCAA tournament offered this kid, and he said, I'm going to be a Bison. Either that or he wouldn't answer the phone because he was combining, but it doesn't matter. He's coming to North Dakota State. And you add that young man into a squad that basically already had their eight-man rotation. And there's not a lot of minutes to go around. Now, there could be a transfer that could come in and start at point guard if it was the right kid. You know, there could be a transfer that takes Biggs's minutes as the backup five and spells Rocky Cruiser, you know, for 10 or 12 minutes or, you know, plays 10 or 12. Not that Rocky's only going to play 28 minutes because that's not going to happen. But here's what's leaving the program, folks. Tyler Witts, 11 games, 5.4 minutes a game. Donald Carter, 2 games, 3.5 minutes a game. Odell Wilson, 20 games, 4.7 minutes a game. And Jackson Notek, 18, so he didn't play at all in 9 games, and only one of those was due to injury, the season opener. 18 of 26 games, 11 minutes a game. And that, honestly, that number is brought up in a big, big way by the injuries that they had at UMKC because he played huge minutes that brought his average up. I would guess that number would normally be a little bit lower. So what they have coming back is 30 minutes a game from Rock, 34 minutes a game from Sam, the exact same 34 minutes a game from Tyree, 27 from Malik, 25 from MHH, 20 from Grant, 13.9 from Des McKinney, and 12 from Bowden Scumberg. That is a lot of your potential 200 minutes per game that's returning. So I think when you have younger players that have multiple years left, and it doesn't look like, because they're not any, younger than these guys. Some of these guys are younger than them. And so where's your path to playing time? Where's your path to happiness on the court? That's what Richmond said in his radio appearance on Bison 1660 this way. If your happiness in this program comes from playing time, he's going to be very honest with you about playing time. And I think he had those honest conversations with Jackson Notek and with Biggs. Obviously, Witz was a graduate and had the opportunity to leave, but also with Donald Carter III. And they have decided that their happiness is in more minutes or a bigger opportunity. And they might go on to be great players. They might even go on to prove Dave wrong. But at this point, if you're those kids, you want to go play. And frankly, if you're Dave, you want to do one of two things with these four or five, depending on if Cruiser's scholarship counts against the count next year, because I think it might not because of COVID. I got to figure that out. But you can do one of two things. You can help start planning for the future after Bowden, Grant, and Dez, or players to supplement them when they are juniors and seniors, or you can try to fill holes that we mentioned. A backup five that can come in and block shots and really defend for 6 or 8 minutes. A shooter to stretch out teams that want to zone up the Bison, and a true point guard. And, you know, maybe that's something that they found in Willie Guy. And we'll talk about Willie Guy in a second, but what are your thoughts on kind of the philosophy of reshaping the bottom of the roster?
You know, I think mid-major recruiting has really changed throughout these recent years with the amount of transfers and kids being able to grad transfer and not sit out, and a lot of kids transferring, getting waivers to play. So I think mid-majors are kind of the typical mid-majors like NDSU who try to build with high school kids, kind of have to go on a year-by-year recruiting path where they don't know who's going to leave, and they need to maybe find some quick fixes and go the JUCO road. That hasn't ever really been NDSU's cup of tea. Obviously, Vinny was a great get, and there's been a couple throughout their history. But, I mean, going into next year, like you said, we got a lot of guys coming back, and there's some scholarships to fill. So whether you go the high school route, where you find a couple of JUCO kids that you think could maybe come in. But a junior college player is probably getting, I'm not going to say promise, but told that he can find some minutes in certain spots. I don't think a guy like Willie Guy is going to come to NDSU thinking that he's not going to try to earn some minutes right away, or he would have found a different place to play. So that, I mean, it puts some pressure on some of these younger guys to know that they need to progress, like a kid like Dez and Bowden, who had great freshman years. I mean, they contributed a little bit to a team that had some experience back, but they're going to need to see some progression here in the off season, or NDSU's going to try to find players who are going to continue to make them better. Obviously, guys like Griesel, Tyree, Rocky. I think Grant's kind of solidified himself, but obviously he still needs to get better as well with a kid like Morgan coming in. Malik Harden-Hayes is going to give you what he gives you. Hopefully he takes another year in progression as well. But it's going to be interesting to see what Dave does. I mean, obviously Josh Sash has the JUCO background and probably knows a lot of coaches throughout the country and what JUCOs to look at for kids who can come in and contribute right away. And it hasn't been the route that Dave's always taken, but if a guy fits his culture and doesn't mess with the chemistry of what they already have and is a good kid like a Witz, who was a great team player, was always the first one off the bench, whether he was playing or not. He wants those team first type of guys.
Yeah, I think too, what you really like to see with Willie, or what I like to see, is the progression. 2019 to 20, he slashes. He was shooting at 42% from the field, but 30.7% from three and 78% from the line. He was averaging 8.6 a game as a JUCO freshman, playing 28 minutes a game as a freshman. But then really, I think, improves, takes fewer threes, but makes a way higher percentage. So he was shooting 0.93s a game and making, or excuse me, he was shooting 2.13s a game and making 0.9. He was shooting 44% from deep, 45% overall, and it improved his free throw percentage to 83%. But the story with this kid is he went from 5.7 assists, which is ridiculous at the JUCO level where there's usually not a lot of structure, not a lot of passing. And he started averaging six assists a game, 6.1 assists a game. So you've got a kid averaging, you know, 12 and six as a JUCO point guard, shooting at 45% from three. Vinny Shahid's a high bar. But those are kind of numbers. Now, Vinny averaged way more points per game. I think he shot it way more often at Western Nebraska than Willie did. But that is on a number of fronts. I checked out his jumper. It's technically pretty sound. I mean, it's pretty. On a number of fronts, those are some things that are accomplished here. A true point guard with Willie Guy. And like I said, I'm very excited for North Dakota State to add a career 34% three-point shooter, but someone who shot 44% from three in his second year in college and showed that progression.
Yeah, and having kind of a true point guard, being able to pass the ball and score it. I know Sam wants to be that point guard position, but you can put Sam at kind of a combo point guard too. And I know Willie's only 6 feet tall, but obviously can handle the ball. Maybe you put Willie at point guard and put Sam at the two. You could have some crazy lineups with that NDSU roster, putting Sam at the two, Tyree at the three, Andrew Morgan at the four, Rocky at the five, or even throw Malik in there. I mean, that's just a huge lineup besides the point guard position and just creates matchup nightmares. Like happened this year where Sam kind of drove to the basket, got cut off, and he would back him down into the post and kind of use his post game. That can be the same thing from the wing and take some pressure off Sam to really handle the ball, bring it up the court if there's any type of pressure. I just think it relieves Sam of some of the pressure of having the point guard role. And it doesn't mean Sam can't play point guard at all, but I think that this kind of brings in a temporary option for us. And obviously you still got Dez who's going to come in and lock up and play defense. Hopefully he can progress his offensive game in the offseason. But I think NDSU, that puts NDSU in a pretty good spot at the guard spot. And if a guy like Jarius doesn't progress like we expect him to or is inconsistent again, you can live with having a bigger lineup in the game. And NDSU did that a little bit towards the end of the year where if Jarius wasn't hitting shots, they just went to a bigger lineup. And Jarius has to progress too. He had a solid year. I mean, it was technically his first full year playing, and I think he has the skills to develop his game and keep progressing too.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about next year. And so this is we'll call it a rumor, but folks, consider this an extremely well-sourced rumor. We have heard on a number of occasions that NDSU's plan next year is to play Nelson, Morgan, and Cruiser together, which would mean that Grant, who still has a lot of those guard skills, would play the three. Well, you're not going to bench Tyree and you're not going to bench Sam. So you can kind of do the math there. Our projection as of this time, right now, here on March 17th, a million years away from next season, which is actually sad. Our projection is that the starting five will be Sam, Tyree, Grant, Morgan, and Cruiser. So that removes, obviously, Harden Hayes and Cook from the starting lineup. And those are guys that didn't get a ton of minutes in that championship game. Not that coach lost faith in them or whatever, but they just didn't play a ton. Jarius did at the end, but those were not necessarily guys that you could always lean on. Their scoring was inconsistent. I don't think their effort was ever inconsistent, but just productivity was inconsistent. So, yeah, I would not surprise me if Willie Guy came in and if he really was shooting around 40% from three, he could take Dez's spot in the rotation. he could take Jarius's spot in the rotation. If he's going to go and distribute the ball that well, and if he'll defend, and if he'll shoot 40%, shoot, adjust down to 35% or 36% from three, and, you know, from JUCO to D1, and you're still shooting it at a better percentage than Sam, than Jarius, than Jax, than Bowden. You know, and you're right there with Griesel. And I, you know, I just think that sometimes too, teams went to ball pressure and NDSU didn't love that. And this kid is a point guard. This is a point guard's point guard. I've watched him play. He was their point guard. Dez is almost more of a combo guard. He's a good ball handler. It's fine. But Willie Guy is a point guard's point guard. And I think you're right. I think they might be able to find some time for him. So, no bigs, no wits, really no backup five. Now, certainly you have Grant Nelson, Andrew Morgan, and Rocky Cruiser. You could stagger their minutes where you would be fine at center. You know, you get Grant with a year with Jason Miller and get a little bit more weight in the seat of his pants, and he can play backup center. That's not a problem. But if you do want to keep Morgan at the four and you do want to keep Grant more of a perimeter player where he was be just an unbelievable matchup for the Summit League. What are your thoughts on bringing in a transfer backup five? I mean, are you thinking that as opposed to a high school player? What, now that there are all these new toys to play with, I mean, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think the way the game has evolved, I don't think you really need a true center. I mean, it's going to be a guy like Rocky who can post up a little bit, but he's going to play a little bit around the perimeter. And I think NDSU's kind of staple has been, we're going to go five out, we're going to spread you out, we're going to try to take you off the bounce. And when we find a matchup in the post, we're going to throw it down there. I don't think it's a huge need. I think it would be great to maybe try to find a really tall, skinny high school kid that you can get in the weight room and potentially develop into that five. But I think with Nelson, Morgan, and Cruiser, you can go to smaller lineups like we did last year. Is there really a true five man in the Summit League? I guess Matt Pyle, I believe, is gone. It seems like he's been there forever. And the Tut kid will be back. He's pretty good, but he was more taking NDSU off the bounce. Comateros kind of floats around the perimeter like Rocky did. And I think, like you said, they can stagger those minutes. I honestly wish I knew, had an idea of what Dave was going to do, because it's I'm sure they have a plan. I don't know what my plan would be in this situation when you have the team returning that you have. So I think they'll recruit both levels, high school and JUCO. They're going to find a player that's going to fit into their culture. And if they can't find that, I think they'll take a chance on some high school kids to kind of put them through the grinder and see if they can handle some tough love for a little bit and see how they develop. And if they can't, they move on in a year and they try to find someone else.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's the intrigue here, obviously, is, as I mentioned, you can start restocking the shelves for the future. You could grab one or two high school kids, get another JUCO kid. And then, you know, I don't know if the world would stop turning if they grabbed the high major transfer that maybe wasn't getting the playing time they were hoping for, or even just another mid-major transfer, you know, pull the old Matt Mooney out of Air Force type thing. And I'm not saying Matt Mooney's are just flying around waiting to come to North Dakota State. But as I mentioned, I don't think the world would stop turning if Coach took a traditional transfer. But anyway, so exciting times or interesting times, certainly in North Dakota State. And we just want to take one more opportunity to thank, you know, Jackson Notech and Biggs Wilson and Tyler Witz and Donald Carter for their time here. Did not really have an opportunity to speak with Donald just because he wasn't on the floor a ton, but had a chance to interact with all three of those other guys, and really, really will miss, you know, those interactions. Like I said, working the basketball beat is a much more personal thing than the football beat, just because you're around the team kind of when nobody else is. Sometimes they're playing in empty gyms and it's just you and the play-by-play guy, and you know, we're really going to miss those folks. They were awesome to be around, and you know, that's kind of the deal, but certainly fun. I mean, certainly an intriguing time. Recruiting is always fun, and this is a team that brings basically their whole squad back, yet because they're really only turning over the part of the roster that didn't get a ton of minutes, there's a ton of opportunity to add different pieces to this roster that I'm sure we'll find interesting. All right, thanks, buddy.
Have a good week.
All right, listeners, you guys too, thank you so much for hanging on for this long-ish megapod. Have a phenomenal rest of your week. Have a great weekend. And go Bison.